Today, on The Journey.
Jesus knows when we call God our Father, the first thing we have to do is this. We need to hallow His name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. When you hallow the name of God, you honor who He is.
He's the genie in our prayer bottle. With one heartfelt petition, we expect God to appear and grant our wish. That done, we'll stuff him back in the flask until our next crisis. Or as Ron Moore is about to share, he's the sovereign of the universe, deserving of our worship even as we approach him in prayer. Before that, we want to offer you a copy of Ron's printed devotional, More Than Words. It contains 30 daily meditations that open up the Lord's Prayer so you can see all the treasure hidden there. You can get yours when you call 724-731-2018. 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Living in Awe of God, on the Journey.
Prayer is simply communication with God. It is sharing our heart before God. And most of the time when we do that, it is going to be real and it's going to be raw and not poetic and eloquent. Take your Bibles and turn with us to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and it's what some people call Christ's inaugural sermon. Right in the middle of the sermon, he addresses this issue of prayer. We looked last week at verses 5 through 8. And I just want to remind us, in those four verses, three times, Jesus made this comment, when you pray. Jesus just assumes, he knows it is a natural, normal thing for the child of God to converse with him, just as it is natural and normal for a child to converse with the father, a friend to converse with a friend. Now, Jesus opened up his instruction on prayer, reminding us of some things. One, we should never pray to impress others. He likened that to hypocrites who stand in the synagogues just so people will be impressed, or they go out on the street corners so people will hear them pray. Jesus said, don't do that. And the other side of that coin is what? Don't be embarrassed to pray because people might not be impressed by your prayer. Jesus also said that you shouldn't go babbling on. You shouldn't use formulas as if the pattern of prayer or the words you say somehow are the key to communication with God. And Jesus said, be sure, whether you're praying in private or public, keep distractions from your time of prayer. Look at verse 9. Telling us what we shouldn't do, Jesus now says in verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, we're going to be working our way through this prayer, but I want to make certain from the very beginning we understand. Jesus is not saying, be sure you pray this prayer every day or I'm not going to listen to you. This is a model prayer presenting a pattern or principles of prayer. Anytime you catch yourself using worn out prayer phrases, anytime you catch yourself saying the same prayer over and over and over, anytime you catch yourself saying something with your lips and you know as soon as you say it with your lips, it never connected in your heart, then you better call timeout. Because we do not want to be like the people God described in Isaiah 29:13, who draw near with their words and honor me with lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. Lip service, not connecting the heart. This model prayer that teaches us principles of prayer begins by addressing God. Now, Jesus could have used many, many titles. He could have used most holy, most glorious, almighty, creator. He could have used a number of titles. But when he teaches us to pray, when he gives us these principles of what prayer is about, what's the title he wants us to use to address God? Father. In the Greek, Father is the first word of the sentence, there for emphasis. When we come before God, we are to address him alone as Father. Following the word Father in the Greek, preceding it in English, is that personal pronoun, our Father. That's what we would say corporately. But when we use these principles of prayer privately, we would take that even farther and use the word my Father. My Father. Now that personal pronoun is critical in understanding this passage. Why would my be critical? You see, there's a sense that God is the Father of all. He's the creator of all. Micah 2 says this, have we not all one Father? Did not one God create us? Acts 17, when Paul is in Athens and he's trying to figure out a way to connect with them. And so he says in chapter 17, 28, for in him, in God, we live and move and have our being. As some of your own prophets have said, we are his offspring, we are his children. And so some liberal theologians have taken this and they refer to it as the universal fatherhood of God. So he's a father of all. And from the doctrine of universal fatherhood comes the heresy of universalism. That at the end of the day, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, at the end of the day, God, who is the father of all, he will just accept you into his kingdom. So Jesus changes that with a personal pronoun. When he says, when you pray, address God as what? My Father. As Paul says in Galatians, speaking to believers, you're all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, no one can come to the Father but through me. There is absolutely no way you can have a relationship with the living God. There's absolutely no way you can call God your Father apart from Jesus Christ. You have to come to the point in your life when you realize you are separated from God by your sin. You cannot close the gap. You will be separated for eternity unless there is someone who can bridge the gap for you. And there's only one person who can do that. God came in the flesh, died on a cross, so that we could have an eternal relationship with the Father. And there's absolutely no way we can have a relationship with God without Jesus Christ. You can know the wrath of God without Christ, but you can't know the love of God. You can stand before him as a judge one day, but you cannot stand before him as a father without Jesus Christ. I just want God to call me his child. There's only one way to do that. It's through Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question. Can you truly call God your father? Have you trusted in Christ alone? That's the only way you can call God your father. Prayer is personal conversation with my father. I don't know what your background was like, but I had just the great privilege, and I understand it's a privilege, of having a great relationship with my dad. My dad repaired pumps that go into the ground and pump oil out of the ground. His title was the pump shop foreman. And he always laughed at that because he was the only one in the pump shop. He was the foreman of himself. He got to tell himself what to do. And so after he would repair these pumps, he would have to take them to the drilling rigs all around Oklahoma and our little area there. And so when I was little, he would call up and he'd say, hey, I'm headed to wherever, Blackwell or Tonkawa or Ponk City, wherever you want to go with me. And I'd always want to go. And so I'd jump in the car and we'd take an hour trip or 2 hour trip or 3 hour trip. And we would deliver these pumps to these drilling rigs. And I just had a great time with my dad. I mean, sometimes he would tell me jokes or we would talk about stuff, or sometimes we didn't talk. It was just being in the car together. You know, you have a great relationship with someone when you can enjoy being together and you're almost conversing, but you're not talking. My dad taught me about Christ. He taught me about unconditional love. He taught me how to love and be faithful to one woman for life. Now, I know some of you aren't that fortunate. One person said to me a few years ago, she said, I can handle Jesus. But when you start talking about God the Father, I can't go there. I know Jesus is God. I got my theology down. I just had such a terrible, painful relationship with my Father. I can't address God as that. So maybe you're in that boat. Your father was distant or absent. Maybe you only knew conditional love. If you performed, you got the glowing acceptance. If you failed, you could see and sense the rejection. Maybe he was harsh. Maybe you have in your background the living hell of abuse. And Jesus knows that. He knows that we're going to have imperfect, sinful fathers. And so to distinguish father from our earthly fathers, look what he says. Our Father in heaven. Now here are seven things you need to know about your Father in heaven. Number one, the Heavenly Father's love is unconditional. Romans chapter 8. Verses 38 through 39, Paul says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, present nor future, any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is found where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from God's love. It is unconditional. It is a perfect, complete love. There is nothing you can do to make him love you less. There's nothing you can do to make him love you more. Perfect love. Number two, the Heavenly Father will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You may have a dad that took off, but the Heavenly Father will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Here's the third thing you got to know about the Heavenly Father. He cannot lie. Some of you may still be dealing with broken promises, but your Heavenly Father, he can't lie. Hebrews says 6:18, it is impossible for God to lie. Number four, the Heavenly Father forgives. There may be some of you here today and you did something in your past and you still don't believe your earthly father forgave you. Not so with your Heavenly Father. Psalm 103, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Number five, the Heavenly Father is gracious and compassionate. Isaiah 30:18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. God desires to be gracious to you. And he rises, he gets up in the morning to show you compassion. You may be far from home, but there's a father who is waiting for you with arms wide open. The Heavenly Father is a perfect provider. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. The last one, the Heavenly Father will never die. As much as I loved my dad, he died when I was 19 years old, and I still miss him. And I can't tell you the number of times in my life when I was doing just normal stuff like buying a car or making a purchase, I just wanted to call him and say, hey, Dad, what do you think about this? But I couldn't. He was gone. But not so with the Heavenly Father. Deuteronomy 33 says this, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll always be there. You never have to miss God. It's always there. Now, as much as I believe in the Word of God and the power of the Word of God, I do not pretend that seven characteristics about God are going to fix your background. But I just want to remind you of this. If you can't call God Father, then call Him my Creator, my Forgiver, the one who loves me unconditionally. But don't let someone's sin in the past keep you from building a relationship with God. If you can't call Him Father, you know what? I think He'll understand. But still pour your heart to Him as real and raw as it is. Jesus knows when we call God our Father, the first thing we have to do is this. We need to hallow His name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed is an old English word, first used in the King James Version, and it means to revere. It means to make holy. It means to respect. It means to hold high. So when we hallow the name of God, we hold it high. We honor God with everything we are. And by the way, that doesn't mean we come and sing some songs on a Sunday, as great as it is, and then pretend we've hallowed the name of God. It doesn't work like that. You hallow the name of God on Route 19 when you're in a traffic jam. You hallow the name of God when your patience is worn thin and your kid wants something. You hallow the name of God when you're in an argument, discussion with your wife. Not an argument, just a discussion. And if you can't hallow the name of God there, don't pretend. It is lip service. It is learned, traditional, rote to do it here. When you think of someone's name, what do you think about? Think of a face, you think of where they live, you think of their characteristics, right? Who they are. And so when you hallow the name of God, you honor who He is. So here's what I want to do in the last few minutes. God is so vast and so immense that there are over 20 names for Him in Scripture. And I'm not going to give you all of them. I'm going to give you one for every day of the week. So jot these down. One name used for God in Scripture is Elohim, the Hebrew word Elohim. And it means all powerful one. We see it in the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Your Father is the Creator. I think He can handle anything going on in your life. Yahweh. It's the Hebrew word of being. He was, He is, He will always be. We first see it in Exodus chapter 3 when God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh. And Moses said, well, who will I say sent me? And God said, you tell him, remember, I am sent you. The self-existent one, the one who was and is and will always be. He will always be faithful. He will never fail you ever. El Olam, the eternal God. He's a God of the ages. There never was a time when He wasn't. There will never be a time when He isn't. And our minds can't even comprehend that. And in the time period that we live, this little sliver of time, He has a purpose for us. And He gives us the strength and the energy and the gifts to carry out that purpose. He is El Olam, the eternal God. El Roy, the God who sees me. This one comes about in Genesis chapter 16. You remember Abram and Sarah can't have children. So Sarah says, Abram, take Hagar, my maidservant, have a child by her. He does, unfortunately, and she has a child, and there's jealousy, and Sarah runs Hagar out, and Hagar is in the desert with Ishmael, and she thinks she's going to die. And then God comes, and He comforts her, and He shows her where the water is, and He nourishes her. And then in Genesis 16, Hagar gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, El Roy, you are the God who sees me. For I have now seen the one who sees me. I don't know what's going on in your life. Even your spouse sometimes doesn't know the inner workings of your heart. But there is one who does. El Roy, God who sees me. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. Shaddai means mountain. God of the mountains. Think about a mountain. That's who God is. He's the God of the mountains. El Shaddai, when Abram was 99 years old, Genesis chapter 17, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. That's how it's often translated in Scripture. I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. You know, some of you are going through difficult times. You've lost a job. You're fearful of losing a job. I know we're in some difficult times. And you're wondering, what's next? How are you going to provide for your family? What are you going to do? I just want to remind you, you serve El Shaddai, the God of the mountains. He's going to provide all you need. He's going to take care of you. Yahweh Jireh, the Lord will provide. We first see this name of God in Genesis 22. You remember when Abraham takes Isaac up and he's going to sacrifice Isaac and the angel stops him. Genesis 22, Abram looked up there in the thicket and he saw a ram caught by the horns. He went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of a son. So Abraham called the place Yahweh Jireh. The Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. In Judges chapter 6, Gideon sees the angel of the Lord, which is the pre-incarnate Christ, and he knows this is God, and he says, I am going to die because I've seen God. But the Lord said to Gideon, peace, don't be afraid, you're not going to die. And so Gideon built an altar to the Lord, Judges 6, 22 through 24. Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. Sometimes things go on and we just say, Lord, I can't take anymore. Anxiety comes up in our heart. I just want to remind you that the God you serve, the God who you call Father, the God whose name that you revere and honor, he is Yahweh Shalom, the God of peace. Paul says in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, the shalom of God, which passes all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. I just want you to know the name that you revere is Yahweh Shalom, my Father in heaven.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next broadcast. Have you ever happened upon an old, familiar trunk stored in the attic that you'd never opened? It had been there for years, a constant companion to your family heirlooms, but to that point, unexplored. Then one day, you had a look inside and discovered treasures you'd only dreamed of, items with rich history that revealed more about you and your heritage than you ever knew existed. Well, that's a lot like the spiritual wealth found in the Lord's Prayer. In his devotional, More Than Words, Ron Moore unlocks and opens this favorite biblical passage. He compares Scripture with Scripture to unveil the rich concepts the Lord Jesus intended for you to find and enjoy. Items like living in awe of God, living in forgiveness, and seeking spiritual protection. We'll send More Than Words to you for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018, 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
Your kingdom come. Let it come down on my life. Let it come down so that people see there's something different about me, so that I glorify your name, so that I revere your name, so that I demonstrate that you are holy. You're God. And when I do that, as your kingdom comes, then there's something I want to add to that. As it comes, I want your will to be done in my life here in this already not yet state, as perfectly as it is in heaven with the angels and the saints.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember our offer of Ron's devotional booklet, More Than Words. Understanding its biblical truths will revolutionize your prayer life, and it's yours for a gift of any amount. You'll find it at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. 724-731-2018. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org, biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on The Journey.